Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media Webcast, Industrial IoT Workloads Benefit from Edge to Cloud Intelligence, sponsored by Dell Technologies and Intel with special research presented by IDC. I'm Kurt Schwader, your moderator with today's speakers, Sriram Subramanian from IDC, Todd Edmonds from Dell Technologies, and Xu Zhang from Intel. Sriram is the Research Director, Infrastructure Systems, Platforms, and Technologies Group at IDC. He has in-depth experience relating to current and future workloads and their impact on server and storage infrastructure, as well as open source infrastructure technology's impact on application development. Todd Edmonds is Director of Industrial IoT Strategy and Solution Architecture at Dell Technologies. Todd is leveraging his 20-plus years of experience, participating at the leading edge of the industrial IoT transformation, having worked with leading manufacturers to achieve their business objectives. Xu Zhang is Senior Director, Product Marketing and Partnerships, IIoT and Edge Computing, AI and Machine Learning with Intel. He has significant expertise with defining solutions to address IoT challenges across multiple industries, specifically manufacturing, energy, and building automation. Today's schedule consists of about 50 minutes of presentation, leaving 10 minutes at the end of the hour for Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to run down some features of your viewing console. It consists of a set of windows you can open, close, and resize to your preference. On entry, you'll see windows titled Presenter, Speaker, Bio, Sponsor, Slide, where the presentation will be displayed, and a Q&A window that enables you to ask questions during the event. There are a set of seven icons across the bottom of your screen. Clicking on the icon on the far left will reset your viewing area if you close something that you can't find to reopen. The rest of the icons will open and close their corresponding windows. You can hover your mouse over each window and show what it controls. Clicking that handout icon second to the right opens a handout window. It has the presenter's slides in PDF format you can use to follow along with or download. The Q&A window is especially important. It enables you to participate today. Simply type your question into the Ask a Question text box and hit Submit. We encourage you to do so early and often while the question's fresh in your mind. We'll address as many of these as we can during the closing Q&A. And if you have a question pertaining to the webcast operation itself, you can submit those too, and one of our technicians will be happy to respond to you. This and all Open Systems Media webcasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. On with the show. Sriram, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Kurt. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us in this webinar. I will start with our agenda for today's webinar. I will be covering Industry 4.0, why does it matter, what it is, and what are the priorities driving Industry 4.0. And I will also be covering some key trends among industrial workloads and some of the challenges faced by industrial IoT users. Todd Edmonds of Dell would cover architectural strategies for industrial IoT workloads, followed by Xu Zhang of Intel, will provide an overview of workload transformations happening around Edge. Both of them will also be recommending solutions to some of the common challenges faced. And then I'll be wrapping up with some industry generic recommendations on where to place the workload and how to leverage pervasive intelligence to your benefit. We will open up QA after that. So what exactly is 4.0 and what are the key priorities? You know, roughly put, Industry 4.0 is all about operational strategy for operational transformation. It leverages people, process, and technologies to deliver extreme efficiency, quality, and performance. You know, Industry 4.0 is no different from what we have seen before. Each of the industry transformations have been riding on top of technology innovations, whether it is the wheel or the fire or the, or, you know, or machines or the computers. But right now we are at the intersection of what the innovations around cloud, mobility, and analytics are enabling, right? And these innovations include AI, machine learning, cognitive systems, and a lot more. Now, you know, having said that, why does it matter? And what are the priorities that are driving this Industry 4.0? So, you know, IDC has identified seven strategic priorities that are driving Industry 4.0, including digital innovation, innovation acceleration, next-gen safety, and smart manufacturing. Now, each of these priorities drives certain use cases, and these use cases drive adoption of certain technology innovations, right? And some of the priorities, some of the use cases might be commonly driven by more than one priority, and these use cases and priorities are depending on the industry, right? Some verticals, for example, might prioritize next-gen safety over innovation acceleration, and not all of the industries or not all of the use cases need to make use of all priorities, but these seven priorities are across the industry and with some vertical-specific differences to that. Specifically, if you take about priorities and how do they drive use cases, let's take the use of manufacturing industry, right? The use cases for manufacturing industry are driven by some of the priorities like innovation acceleration, next-gen safety, smart manufacturing. And again, in turn, smart manufacturing drives use cases like strategic asset management, resilient lean, smart plant. Innovation acceleration might drive some use cases like lifecycle analytics or even, you know, asset safety. But you know, without going into details, this is the details of these specific use cases are out of scope of the webinar. But the Uber trend is these various use cases, whether it is vertical specific or across to the industry, they all ride upon technology innovation. And we are here to see, like, you know, what is driving that and what are some of the key trends when it comes down to the workloads, right? So if you take industrial workloads specifically, there are three key trends that we are observing. The first one is about significant shift in the deployment of workloads, where they are getting deployed. And you know, it'll be interesting to see what is driving such shift. The second key trend is how they are being AI-enabled. And then, you know, some of these two trends are driven by the third trend, which is significant shift in the infrastructure needs. Kind of driving down into detail, right? We observe that a lot more workloads are going towards edge. The movement towards edge is driven by some of the top drivers include increased security, improved reliability, and lower cost. You know, the location to edge locations is so significant across the industry that we expect that majority of resources are to be expected to be in remote or edge locations across industries. Combining the trend of multi-cloud and hybrid cloud becoming more normal, heterogeneous environments are expected to be more common, with edge infrastructure being playing a vital role in that state. When it comes to the second trend of AI enablement, we observe that AI, artificial intelligence, is getting more and more pervasive, and more workloads are going to be AI enabled. Now, what do you mean by AI enabled, right? AI enablement refers commonly to leveraging artificial intelligence capabilities for a specific business goal or one or more business goals, right? Some of the common drivers include improving accuracy, increasing reliability, or better user experience, or something like that. Now, among industrial workloads and use cases, most strong drivers are improving reliability, improving workplace safety, and increased operational efficiency. By 2024, AI will become a core component among enterprise workloads. For majority of enterprises, that's about more than 70% of enterprises, 20% or more of their workloads are expected to be AI-enabled. Drilling down further, for manufacturing industry, the expected use of AI systems is expected to grow at a CAGR of 34% by 2022. For transportation industry, the expected use of AI systems is about 36%. In essence, AI is going to be more pervasive, and industrial workloads across domains, across verticals are poised to be benefited by that. The third is, this is a significant shift in the infrastructure needs. Now, what is driving that? The key drivers to that are the immediacy in the decision making, how soon the decision needs to be made, what is the importance of the decision to be made, whether it's proactive or reactive. For example, you know, if you're taking a decision at the industry floor, particularly around job safety, they need to be more immediate. If you want to make a proactive maintenance, it's just about decision of changing the gear or scheduling a maintenance, they are all more proactive. Or these, for these kind of decisions, whether it's proactive or immediate or both, more data is being collected and analyzed. So this results in increased need for computation and storage. The storage needs and computation needs are growing exponentially. These are also pushing the latency needs, right? If something has to happen at the location, it has to be fast, and you cannot rely upon to cloud and wait for it, right? The latency requirements are more. So the requirements like these are influencing workload placement decisions. So this in turn drives where the workloads are getting placed, and also the advanced need, the need for more proactive maintenance, those are driving towards AI enablement. Now the question to you is, how do you decide? How do you leverage this intelligence? Where do you place the workload? That is where the question comes about the shift between edge to cloud. Now, edge, cloud, or core in between, the definitions could vary. People kind of, when you say about edge, they have this imagination or a visualization of tiny little sensors being spread everywhere. You know, that could be edge, but one thing to notice is that the capabilities available at edge are increasing more and more day by day. More and more computational resources are available, more analytics samples available at the edge. So the definition of edge and core and cloud could vary between people to people. But one thing that's common across is the availability of artificial intelligence capabilities. Across these three locations, various capabilities are available. Now the question to you is, what is the right place for right kind of technology? If you look at it, you know, a rough mind map or rough rule of thumb is, if you compare the resource capabilities between edge and core and cloud, and the scale, the number of locations that you compare across these three, it is not very uncommon to see for one cloud service provider for a particular large user, for one hyperscaler or a cloud service provider that they consume, they could have hundreds of locations of data centers or cores, and then they could have thousands of edge locations. But if you look at the scales perspective, you know, a core or a data center could be 1,000 times more scalable than an edge location, and a hyperscaler location could be even 1,000 more times more resource intense than the core location. So this interesting the location versus scale is a kind of a nice inversion there. It is important to note that even though the data centers, the core and cloud are very resource concentrated, if you look at all the compute capacity available at the edge and remote locations, the total available compute capacity is going to be much larger. That is why it's the kind of common, the agreed upon or widespread, widespread distribution is do a lot more inferencing at the edge and do a lot more training at the cloud. So roughly speaking, right, anything that's more immediate and, you know, that needs to be done, it makes sense to put it on the edge. It typically in the AI pipeline of ingest to transform to explore to train and inference is best suitable at the edge location. If you look at the training or ingest training, it is better suitable for cloud. Anything historic, anything that is more intensive of analytics, anything that you're trying to do across the multiple locations, across the organization, cloud is located better. Core comes somewhere in between. Core is best suitable for, you know, if training, if possible, or advanced analytics. Even for edge device management, core is a better location. Again, to summarize, anything that's more immediate, anything that is that has to be done, the decision has to be taken, you try to put in edge. Anything more historic, you try to put it in the cloud. Core comes as a nice in between in this wide spectrum. Now, but the other thing to consider is that as the capabilities of the edge are increasing, right, more video analytics capabilities are available, more cognitive capabilities are available. So those use cases are very good, well suited at the edge location. And, you know, data aggregation, more advanced analytics, you can put it on the core. So having said that, you know, not everything is very straightforward. And other thing to note is that, you know, one thing that we are seeing between edge and cloud and core, as intelligence is becoming more available, the reality of pervasive intelligence is upon us. Now, the question to us is how to leverage that, right? So IDC observes that across industries, across verticals, AI enablement is becoming more and more possible. We will talk about some trends across these verticals, and then more specifically, we'll take a look at three different verticals. So we noticed that IT-OT convergence is made possible by this pervasive intelligence, and about 50% of by 2022, industries across verticals, a 10% improvement in asset utilization will be enabled by a 50% increase in new industrial assets by leveraging AI. If you take down a little bit more specifically, manufacturing industry, about 65% of global manufacturers will realize savings of more than 10% in operational expenses by 2023. In automotive industry, about 70% of automotive OEMs will integrate technologies such as AI and IoT in vehicle models, right? In O&G, by 2022, 90% of oil majors would have deployed AI-powered applications for various exploration processes. All are indicating the reality that industries and verticals are leveraging pervasive intelligence. Having said that, it is not without the challenges, right? So some of the commonly cited use cases, some of the challenges include lack of skill set and lack of prescriptive guidance. More specifically, when you talk about technology perspective, there are challenges that customers face are around decisions around what to place where, what is the right workload decision, and secondary need is where to place. Once I place my workload, do I have to move? If I have a workload running on edge, is there a need for moving the workload across core or cloud? Do they stay stagnant or do they keep moving, right? And an Uber question across the industry is even though more and more capabilities are evolving, do we have enough compute to satisfy all our analysis needs? So these are some of the challenges. I will pass on to Todd Edmonds of Dell Technologies to talk a little bit more about various solution architectures. And then once both the speakers have spoken, we will circle back with some of the generic recommendations towards these specific challenges of workload mobility and workload placement. Thank you. Todd?
Thanks, Sriram. So I want to get a little bit more tactical. And so look at how this entire workload discussion actually can apply to a manufacturing plant today. So when you look at a manufacturing plant, most of the industrial assets that you see do not really give up their data very easily. You wonder, how do you extract that data? And if you do connect to some of them, there's going to be too much data, so they're going to have overloaded bandwidth on your network. So if you're like connecting into a robot, for example, and you want to do some interesting AI and analytics on that robot, you really don't want to have to have every single piece of data where every single joint on the robot is sending its position across your network. Then when you start looking at analytics, and Sriram talked about analytics and video analytics, what about analytics and AI? You really kind of typically want to push that a little lower, like Sriram talked about, to where that data is being generated. And then you also have in the plant floor obsolete data, obsolete devices, with legacy insecure operating systems that you don't necessarily want to connect into your networks. And then also legacy protocols, so older controllers, PLCs, that type of devices that are down on your plant floor that also don't like to give up their data very easily and have those legacy protocols like serial protocols or Modbus or RS-485, for example. And so some of the newer modern PLCs are fairly simple to connect into that network. You plug in and it's fairly easy, OPC or some way, to connect into them and pull that data out. But how do you do this next generation of smart infrastructure and get that data out of these plant devices, these assets that you have on your plant right now? And so the answer to that is really edge compute. So when you start talking about edge compute, that's really about putting the right amount of compute right where it's needed and intelligence really at the industrial edge. And that's really doing things like, from simple protocol conversion to really higher level analytics and AI. So you're enabling data sharing across everything on your manufacturing plant and allowing higher level industrial IoT or industry 4.0 or smart manufacturing applications access to that data and being able to share that data to be able to really have that intelligence at the edge, like Sriram talked about capabilities enabled at the edge. And while at the same time, enabling that IT and OT conversion. So when you do this and you start adding this industrial compute, we call it edge compute. Some people might call it a gateway. Some people might call it a embedded PC. But the idea is to be able to stay above the layer, that control layer on the plant floor, and build a robust data and analytics infrastructure that sits above there to address things like latency needs, to be able to reduce the bandwidth required for doing really interesting things about predictive maintenance on a robot, for example, and integrate those legacy assets to be able to isolate, almost even firewall, those obsolete, insecure OSs that are typically all over the plant floor from some really legacy type machines. And then also be able to do some sort of micro segmentation on those devices too, to also increase the security levels that are down on the plant floor. And then really when you look at applications like cameras and video AI, you know, some of the newer cameras are 4K or even 8K in resolution, and you really can't afford to put all of that, every single frame of data onto your network. Instead, these edge compute devices have that capability of processing that at the edge and just putting interesting information out onto the network, interesting information like I see a face or I see a number of people or I see a dangerous happening on the plant floor. So, for example, in a video analytics application that our company did, you're able to say, like, as a product goes down the production line, read a barcode and make sure it's the correct product, but not just based on that barcode, but also use smart analytics with a camera, for example, to measure the product dimensions of that product that's going down there and cross-reference that to make sure that not only is it the right barcode, but it's actually the right device, the right shape, and do that checking on that as you go forward. So the next layer is to be able to have intelligent edge compute device management as well. So you want to have the next layer in a manufacturing plant. So typically there's a local on-prem compute, you know, sometimes they call it a manufacturing data center. And so when you're having these multiple layers of scalable compute with scalable storage at each layer to do that data aggregation and transformation of the data at the plant. And so again, we're talking about a manufacturing infrastructure that really doesn't like to have direct connections to the cloud, for example. So they'll usually have a local on-prem compute plant data center there to do that aggregation and transformation of the data, to be able to do some more advanced analytics, AI, and machine learning, and be able to configure the connectivity. But the latest generation of what we're doing is having that also really comprehensive edge device management, as well as container and application lifecycle management. So we're starting to do cloud native principles at the edge. So these edge devices aren't just your old Windows boxes that require a whole bunch of maintenance and update and high levels of cost to keep up to date. Instead, we're doing smart devices that enable things like containers that have automatic patching of the operating systems based on them, and developing those simple cloud native principles. So when you connect up to a cloud application, you click and pre-configure everything, and it's ready to go, and that's what we're pushing down to the edge as well. So in addition, you need to make sure that you take consideration of the data needs that are increasing. So when you're having video analytics and AI, those are all driving exponential increases of data. So you need to make sure that you have a modern data infrastructure at every level. There's going to be some data at the edge, some data on-prem, and then as that goes up, you want to make sure that you have a modern infrastructure to handle that at every layer. And because really, as we go, you know, in this next generation of Industry 4.0 or the next industrial revolution, as some people are calling it, data is really is almost capital. Data is a real business asset. You need to have an infrastructure and plans in place to be able to handle and manage that. So, in addition, this same infrastructure can do some things that we call legacy workload consolidation. And every plant has some really old, obsolete equipment, like I said before, that are probably running old OSs that are at risk of, if they go down, if they fail. You can't just go out to a website and buy a Windows XP computer or even a Windows NT computer for that matter. So with this same type of architecture, we're able to have the ability to virtualize some of those old applications. So on this slide here, for example, we show an HMI, which is an operator interface terminal. We're able to then take that old obsolete HMI application, virtualize it, actually remove the PC that's running it, and use a small I forget the term right now. Anyway, you're able to virtualize that application and then run it in a much more secure, higher performance capability on your infrastructure, and then significantly reduce your risk from those obsolete applications and those failing and not being able to get up to date. And then as we go, I think I put next. Yeah. And then as we go further, obviously you need to connect that data from the plant, from the edge. And when we talk about edge, I was going to talk about this, but we talk about edge in this particular, in a manufacturing facility, the edge is truly right down at the plant level, connecting into those assets. Now, if you're at the enterprise level, your edge may be the on-prem compute that's at individual factories, depending on what you're looking at. But the idea is the same. The intelligence and the methods for managing and controlling what we do is really the same. And you're looking at all these plant factories and locations need to share their data and insights with those higher level enterprise systems. So those higher level enterprise systems are starting to develop data lakes and adding the higher level analytics and AI. And those are driving, you know, those are the things that are driving those exponential increases of data. And again, you need that modern scalable storage infrastructure to handle that deluge of data. But also, typically in what factories used to do was isolate every single one of these layers. I'm really showing a three-layer industrial infrastructure here, you know, with the edge, the on-prem, some people might call it the Purdue model, and typically they would firewall every single layer. But in today's world, you need to get that data sometimes directly from a PLC or a camera on the plant floor all the way up to the enterprise or all the way up to the cloud. That's where smart connectivity comes in, having flexible software-defined networks and software-defined compute and software-defined storage, because really being able to just firewall everything is really not an option anymore, just because that data needs to flow anywhere that where you need it to go. So for an example, I worked with a company that made industrial manufacturing robots. And they wanted to predict when those robots were going to go down so that they could alert their customers, auto manufacturing customer, when those robots were going to go down before they were going to go down in production. So give them notice up to 2 weeks in advance. And to be able to do that, you can't just leave that data on-prem. That data has to go up to a higher level analytics application. And in this case, it would actually go to the cloud. And be able to do some interesting things about that and take the the expertise that that manufacturer had about knowing what's going on with their robots, being able to sense when a failure is imminent, and then be able to say, okay, I'm going to push that information back down and give a warning and let that auto manufacturer know that it needs to do some preventive maintenance on that robot before that next production run. To be able to do that, sometimes that's really, really hard because you can't just necessarily have a gateway on the plant floor that pushes up into the cloud, because a lot of manufacturers won't let that happen. They don't want to have multiple or even hundreds of times direct connections to the cloud because they can't manage it. They don't know what data is leaving. It could be some very valuable production data that they really don't want to leave the factory. So having these flexible software-defined networks and storage is critical as we go forward doing this. And then we'll talk about the cloud. Manufacturers typically are afraid of the cloud. They don't necessarily like to have data going to the cloud. And that's where multi-cloud capabilities come in. You need to make sure that you have the ability to shift workloads, shift data, whether it be a hybrid cloud, which is typically for a manufacturer on-prem because they don't like it going to the actual public cloud, or be able to shift it to the public cloud as needs arise. So if a manufacturer does come in and say, I'm going to prevent downtime on all my robots, save you millions of dollars in downtime, but I need to send some of that data to the cloud, you need to have an infrastructure in place that allows that to happen under control of the people that are running that plant, the people that are running the IT department, and be able to have control over it and know what data is truly leaving the factory. And part of that too is being able to shift that workload to whatever cloud that you want to shift it to. If it's AWS today and Azure tomorrow, or Google the next day, or a combination of both, that needs to be under the decision, under the control of the manufacturing plant and the manufacturer themselves. So really, to summarize, to enable this intelligent workload, you need to have really four key things to make this happen. And that is having software-defined compute connectivity and networking essential. No longer is firewalling everything really practical to be able to share this data and use the data and enable these AI workloads and enable these advanced analytics. A modern storage infrastructure is also critical, number two, because video analytics and AI, that's really a business asset. A lot of data coming out of there, a lot of storage required, but it really will make a big effect on your business, saving money, making things safer. And multi-cloud architectures are required because no one cloud application or cloud hosting company is going to have all of the best applications. So you want to use best in breed, and you want to be able to shift those that storage loads and applications on-prem or into the cloud as needed under your own control. And then lastly, the distributed edge compute is a necessity. Having that scalable compute capability with cloud native principles to monitor, manage, deploy, and manage the software lifecycle of those edge devices is all key to enabling analytics and AI at the source. So I've got a couple of links in here. Get more information from Dell Technologies about how we go about this. And we partner really heavily with our really good partner, Intel, to enabling smart manufacturing and this intelligence across the whole stack. And on this call is Shu, and I'll hand it over to Shu to kind of go into that a little bit deeper. Shu?
Hey, thanks, Todd. So Todd spoke about how the vast majority of industrial assets don't give up their data so easily, and it's spot on. For manufacturers, the challenges range from integrating data streams from multiple types and brands of machines to deriving insights from that data to integrating those insights into the operations in a timely manner such that they're influencing decisions and actions in real time or near real time. But if manufacturers can overcome these challenges through a combination of, and both of these are very important, of both cultural change and the right utilization and application of IoT and AI, In their transition to a smarter factory, manufacturers will be able to increase both the throughput and also scale products that they manufacture much more effectively and at a much higher speed than before. And so analytics and AI can be applied across many major processes of, you know, either a production or a supply chain, from people to products to environment. Sorry, I was a little late in forwarding, so hopefully everybody can see this slide now. And by using an approach that combines IoT sensor data with edge computing and artificial intelligence and machine learning models, manufacturers are able to enable what I think of as a fully integrated cycle of insight that allows, for example, people to detect defects autonomously through, again, AI and machine learning models, root cause issues, predict machine downtime ahead of when it happens, secure worker safety, and also optimize factory flows, leveraging all data types, whether it's, you know, structured data, time series, or machine vision data. One example is that manufacturers and their suppliers can utilize machine learning. So for example, regression models to predict remaining useful lifetime of a part, or a classification model to predict failures within a given time window. And with more advanced deep learning, they actually have the capability to take existing preventative and predictive maintenance systems to an entirely new level by layering in additional data, such as, you know, we hear audio and 3D imaging in addition to two-dimensional imaging, right, along with video. And in fact, neural networks, when applied right, with the right amount of data sets and training, can enhance and possibly replace more traditional methods. And one last point that I'd like to mention, building on my co-presenters, is the location of where the AI and analytics happen. Like Sriram stated, in many industries, AI training and inferencing is typically performed in the cloud. And Todd just did a great job in articulating why vertical markets like manufacturing, and also throw in utilities and oil and gas, aren't embracing cloud as fast as other industries, right, like retail and banking. And that's because of security and sort of this fear of losing the data and, you know, too many unprotected endpoints. So we're at Intel, we're seeing more and more edge deployments that include both the training and the inference part, with AI applications being performed on an edge server or an industrial PC, or even on device like a smart camera with a vision or AI accelerator at the edge. Okay, let's talk about data and the amount of data inside of a factory and how staggering it is. You know, a common number that is referenced is 1 petabyte, which is about 1 million gigabytes of data generated every day inside of a smart factory. And I know some folks might be wondering, you know, what are the drivers of this deluge of data? And there are a few factors. One is that there's increasing pressure on the industry. So you've got rising labor costs, right, leading to more automation, and the fact that many Asia Pacific countries are no longer considered low wages. You know, you've got increased quality expectations from consumers and end users that drive behavior along the value chain. You've also got, you know, government initiatives like Industry 4.0 that are accelerating advanced manufacturing in different pockets of the world and similar programs. And in order to remain profitability or remain even profitable in a ever more competitive environment, manufacturers have to accelerate their inline quality monitoring while maintaining inspection accuracy, along with reducing the rate of false positive inspections, right? So you don't want to actually have too many false triggers, because that also sucks up, operator time. And so the goal is to achieve early detection of costly errors that reduce the volume of scrap material and increase the accuracy. So over the past few decades, this vision inspection work, I'll call it, has been performed by typically highly trained human operators, and then augmented by traditional CV or computer vision based equipment. But that's changing. You've got traditional inspection techniques for ensuring product quality that are quickly becoming outdated. And instead, you know, what in the past might have been just standard automated optical inspection or AOI to identify potentially defective components, which requires, you know, hard-coded algorithms and highly trained engineers and operators to identify a good part from a defective one, is no longer sufficient, right? Because these types of traditional CV models don't have the ability to learn or adapt. And they oftentimes have a false positive rate of 20% or 30% or even higher. And so with advancements in deep learning, deep neural networks have been demonstrated to be more accurate than even humans at tasks like image classification, and are able to process these images exponentially faster. So think dozens or even hundreds of images per second, right, which is beyond what a human can do today. Now, by combining traditional inspection techniques with deep learning models, you know, perhaps with the inferencing being performed on a dedicated accelerator chip or an FPGA, manufacturers can actually improve their AOI process, again, their automated optical inspection process, and make sure that only the truly defective components require human operator inspection. And this, in turn, would free up operators from, you know, more of the repetitive and rote tasks and focus instead on more value added tasks. And not just for one use case. Now consider other industrial machine vision use cases inside factories. You know, typical ones other than quality are position and guidance of robot arms, measurement of parts, or identification, right? OCR. Not to mention additional factory monitoring use cases that span, you know, safety and security, worker behavior, asset monitoring via video. You multiply those by the sheer number of factories globally, 7 million, right, with almost half of them in China. And you can imagine how massive that vision opportunity actually is. Okay. So based on this massive amount of camera-generated data, along with the breadth of use cases that I just talked about, along with the sheer, you know, staggering size of the market, and we just talked about factories, but expand that to substations and secondary substations and refineries and oil wells, and you can think of how big that opportunity is, and the fact that vision represents one of those killer apps for the edge. So Intel actually offers a wide variety of tools to make it easier for both developers and other solution providers to build edge-based AI and vision solutions. And that includes a breadth of different compute CPU to integrated GPUs to our Intel Movidius vision processing units and Intel FPGAs, in order to meet the performance and cost and power efficiency requirements for a wide range of AI architectures. Because as Shriram mentioned earlier, and Todd reinforced, there isn't sort of a one-size-fits-all AI architecture. In addition, as inference compute continues to grow and move to the edge, Intel's well-positioned with a portfolio of edge AI software, including the OpenVINO toolkit. We also made a couple of announcements recently at the Intel AI Summit last month in November. I'll talk about that a little bit more, but the highlights are, you know, we announced what we call Dev Cloud, Developer Cloud for the Edge, which is really a try before you buy for Intel processors for your edge AI solutions in order to find the best mix of performance and power and price. We also announced a developer agree, which is a partnership with the online, massive online course site called Udacity. to create an edge AI nano degree to enrich and train the next generation of edge AI developers. And finally, we announced Keem Bay, which is a power optimized high performance edge AI accelerator chip. Over the next couple of foils, I'll briefly touch on what these tools are, OpenVINO and Intel DevCloud for the edge. So we've seen how demand is growing for intelligent vision solutions, particularly at the edge. And this is, you know, in industrial sectors as well as other sectors, including retail and smart cities, et cetera. Well, in order to take full advantage of AI at the edge, the developer toolkit is extremely important, right? And that includes making it easier for developers to build their solutions on whatever AI architecture, compute architecture that they decide to implement. And developer tools need to be integrate computer vision along with deep learning and analytics processing capabilities into applications, so that they can help, turn that data into insight. And, I talked a little bit about the hardware portfolio. But again, software is critical to unleashing the full compute potential. And that's really why we developed OpenVINO, which is really a toolkit, if you think about it, that helps developers accelerate the development of high-performance computer vision and deep learning. What it does is it speeds up workloads and enables the optimization of trained deep learning models for inferencing, and also simplifies deployment across multiple types of Intel platforms. Again, from, you know, CPUs to integrated GPUs to FPGAs and our Movidius vision processing units. So think of it as, you know, code once deployed across many different architectures. And the package actually has a host of tools as well as optimized functions that enable both CV as well as deep learning inference deployment. Supporting, I believe, over 100 different open source and custom models, including your standard, you know, favorite frameworks like TensorFlow and Caffe and MXNet and more. And so the sort of the key takeaway is that OpenVINO supports multiple Intel processors, and as a result, developers are able to benefit from greater flexibility in the options of hardware, and this can save a lot of time, because they only have to write their applications once and then deploy to many different devices without rework. And you can actually download it for free at the link on the bottom right of the slide here. So another developer tool that we launched recently to, again, simplify the developer experience when building edge AI solutions is the Intel DevCloud for the Edge. So one of the challenges that we see for particularly enterprise developers is access to platforms that support their applications in order to meet the performance, throughput, and latency requirements that they would like to target. And in the past, this has involved navigating through a plethora of white papers and specs on what edge compute platform is best for their application. And so the DevCloud for the Edge actually removes this what I call hardware choice paralysis when selecting from the plethora of in-market platforms. And with it, enterprise developers are able to now test and benchmark models across multiple platforms in real time and from anywhere around the world. It's truly a cloud-hosted sort of try before you buy. And this DevCloud for the Edge actually includes a pre-installed as well as pre-configured version of the Intel distribution of the OpenVINO toolkit that I talked about a little bit earlier. And you can sign up for it using the link on the bottom right. Excuse me. Now, I want to show an example of how AI and deep learning combined with machine vision are improving outcomes for manufacturers. This is actually a really interesting case study in China, where there are, and I didn't know this before, so this was staggering for me. There are 600 tire manufacturers that build approximately 800 million tires annually. right? 800 million units, which represents about a third of the world's tire output, right? Full third. So now, if you think about this sheer scale, you can imagine how ensuring the quality of product at the scale is a huge challenge. And most companies are relying on manual inspection. And what that means is it can take 3 months to typically train an inspector. And even with that fully trained inspector, he or she is only able to achieve 90 to 95% accuracy. And so one of these major tire manufacturers decided to take a different approach, and they partnered with a company, a software company called Shanghai DeepSight, which uses deep learning, computer vision, and image processing to analyze video in real time and also extract key insights. And so, you know, long story short, they developed a solution using an Intel-based industrial PC running OpenVINO and their own defect detection application to remove the original testing equipment. And what that was able to do is allow the manufacturer to be able to inspect more than 20,000 tires per day in real time with an improved accuracy rate of more than 99.9%. And so I mentioned earlier that a fully trained operator is able to achieve 90 to 95%. So now this gets you almost to 100% accuracy and ultimately improve their bottom line, right? And they're able they estimate that they're able to shave down their labor costs by approximately $40,000 per production line. So this is really impressive. Last but not least, I'll wrap up with a few links for you to learn more about what Intel is doing in the industrial space, how we're helping developers build edge AI solutions that achieve greater productivity and savings. As well as, the only way, you know, we all win together is through the ecosystem. And as Todd mentioned, we've got a fantastic partnership with Dell in the industrial space. And you'll see many of these solutions available from Dell and other joint partners as well. Sriram, I'll turn it back to you for some closing thoughts.
Thank you, Shou. That's great. I love the hardware vision paralysis that you talked about. And the deep sight or the vision is something, a use case that's close to me, close to my mind, and also, you know, something we need to be very careful about. How do we use this, and how do we make sure that there's a ethical use of that one? With that, you know, this is some of the recommendations to take care of the decision paralysis, right? Like one of the top challenges that are cited by the users is, you know, vision around workload placement. Now, this recommendation is a very high-level and very simplistic model. There are a lot more considerations such as, you know, your TCO, the available skill set, and all those things go in. But from a pure technology point of view, from the decision-making point of view, if you were to consider edge and core and cloud as locations, it's very important to consider as a factor of the impact of the decision that's being made and the immediacy of the decision to be made. Edge is a great location for workloads that need to make immediate decisions, and they make more impactful decisions, such as, you know, I need to replace this gear right away. We need to stop, someone crossing the fence, things like that, right? And then more predictive, more prescriptive, more proactive decisions, they need to happen at edge. More historic, more analytic, there is lower sense of immediacy there and lower sense of impact there. They can go into cloud, and core being somewhere in between this spectrum. And there is going to be overlap in your decisions. There is going to be certain workloads that are suitable in more than one location. Similarly, more than one location is more applicable for a certain workload. Irrespective of that, I think if you can think in terms of impact versus immediacy, that gives you a little bit more clarity on what is the right location. With that, I would like to proceed with some of the generic recommendations, right? Now, the definition of edge varies between users. Your edge is your edge, and it could be different from my definition of my edge. So it is better not to be pedantic about the definition, but take a pragmatic approach of what edge means to you. Take a very practical approach to what edge, core, and cloud mean to you, and use according to your use case. heterogeneity, it is going to be the normal. Leverage and embrace heterogeneous environments to your benefit. Whether it's multi-cloud, whether it's hybrid cloud, tons of edge locations, however you call that, however you see that, heterogeneous environments are going to be the norm. Please leverage and embrace them. Leverage intelligence everywhere, whether it's edge location, co-location, or cloud. Leverage these intelligence capabilities available at the respective location. Leverage them to your advantage. Particularly the IT and OT convergence that is dependent on, that is being driven by the pervasive availability of intelligence, digitization, and these things drive, in fact, you know, they drive on one upon each other, and effectively at the end of the day, they're driving more operational efficiency. Please use them to your advantage. Pick the right location for the right job. As Todd was alluding to it, and Ashok was alluding to it, you know, determine what is the right location for this specific workload under consideration, and be open to visiting them, right? There is always a mobility factor associated to that, and please be open to that. And finally, invest in distributed device management. With having said these recommendations, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Great. Thanks, Sriram. We are now to the Q&A portion. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we'll try to get through a few questions. Todd, you referenced the integration of legacy systems. Any information on challenges or solutions that you've seen with your customers integrating legacy systems into these IIoT environments?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. Thanks, Kurt. And having a standardized way of doing that, a scalable, repeatable way of doing that is key. Obviously, standardized edge compute devices to do that legacy ingestion and being able to do standardization of that data and providing actual context at the source. Dell Technologies, we've got multiple partners that can do that, some of the best in the industry, and I won't really do a commercial for them right here. But, doing that really at the source rather than pulling all that data up into a centralized location, doing some of that at the source and being able to have that data available is really what all edge compute is about and gives you some real advantages. The challenges, though, are sometimes having a data dictionary and a standardized way of representing that data. There's multiple standards out there. No one fits all, but, you know, having that information and thinking through that at first. So.
Right. Okay. What are the hallmarks of a successful AI implementation, and how do I get started?
That's a good question, and it's a complex answer, right? But I'll make this quick in the interest of time. Happy to follow up as well. But I think it's important to position AI in your organization the right way. That is, really leverage AI in a way that provides rapid value, right? And I think organizations, no matter what line of business you're in, should consider how AI can address, you know, some of your biggest risks, challenges, and opportunities, and also consider very carefully the time to value of an AI investment, because it's not a silver bullet. And once you do that, you choose an area or project that would demonstrate that rapid value impact in a somewhat firewalled way, right? So for example, machine vision to improve quality assurance. And that would require developing an in-house AI talent team to work with, executing that pilot project. It's very important not to let scope creep take in, and then prove value and gain internal managerial management and buy-in before you expand that out. And then finally, I think messaging is important. How do you sort of shout from the mountaintop that successful pilot, both internally and externally, to sort of build up more momentum and get the organization to invest more and scale more. I hope
right,
that answers the question. If not, happy to follow up.
Exactly. Great points, especially on the scope creep. It's far better to have a few moderate, quickly achievable objectives than to try to tackle the entire mountain at once. Good point. Sriram, do you expect to see non-industrial workloads move to the edge locations as well?
Yes, absolutely. You know, edge is becoming a reality, not in just industrial environments, but also more specific, you know, other environments, enterprise environments, and enterprise workloads as well. are expected to go to edge locations. It's just a matter of the, you know, again, the immediacy and the impact and certain workload specific requirements need edge kind of infrastructure, and they're expected to go.
Okay, great. Todd, you mentioned firewall everything isn't a good answer for IIoT. What other security measures are needed? Authentication, encryption, anything else?
Absolutely. Authentication, encryption are key. It's kind of hard to do that to a serial protocol, so that's another good reason for edge compute capabilities,
right,
to put that down there where the data is being created. But also like micro-segmentation. So, you know, some of the latest software-defined networking capabilities, you can put a VLAN all the way down to that one edge device, have it be on its own VLAN, and be able to micro-segment that so that if anything does happen to that device, it can't go east-west, which typical nefarious attacks usually try to do. Is once they get somewhere, they go east-west to the devices next to it, because that's typically not very secure. But micro-segmentation allows that to stop that in its tracks, because it keeps it on its own network and keeps them separate and much more secure.
I see.
Kurt, if I can add on to Todd, that's a great viewpoint. I also, you know, to add on to that, I expect that service mesh infrastructure kind of environments that provide more, you know, multiples of services being connected in a seamless way. As things evolve in that front, more service identity and things like that come along, I think, you know, these kind of environments with more heterogeneous and multiple distributed environments are going to be more secure. And as you said, like you said, we cannot firewall everything. We need a kind of a fresh approach, and these things provide more promise in how do we secure those environments. Thank you for bringing it up, Todd.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good point in terms of using some embedded strategies too, and isolation and physical kinds of security. Shu, what kinds of programming languages do these VPUs use? You mentioned dev kits. Are there compilers, tools? How does all that work? Is this a brand new environment?
Yeah, actually, it's dev cloud that I mentioned earlier. Yeah, and actually, I see there was another question as well, which is like, how do I select the right, you know, XPU, I'll call it, whether it's CPU, integrated graphics, FPGA, you know, vision processing
units.
How do I do that? That's the whole point of, we saw that need in the market. And so that's why Intel developed dev cloud for the edge. And so what that does is think of it as a sandbox for really fast testing and prototyping of computer vision applications. It enables developers to run their algorithms in a free cloud environment in order to really assess performance using any type of Intel hardware configurations. And we think that this sort of, you know, try before you buy option helps address exactly those couple of issues that are mentioned. And also with OpenVINO, having the ability to sort of write once, deploy multiple places.
Yeah, and one thing you mentioned in terms of being able to move these workloads around to these different environments, I mean, that's valuable when you're prototyping and proof of concepting these things. So you can take an educated guess and then kind of get some metrics along with it. So
that's right. That's right.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting concept. So unfortunately, we have reached the end of our event here today. Great information. I want to thank Sriram, Todd, and Shu for sharing your insights on industrial IoT workloads and benefits from edge to cloud intelligence. We at Open Systems Media, Intel, Dell Technologies, and IDC want to thank you, the audience, for attending today, contributing excellent questions. This webcast will be posted online at the URL shown on your screen within 24 hours, and an audio-only podcast version will also be made available. You can do a web search with the keywords Open Systems Media Events and find all of Open Systems Media webcasts available for download as MP3s. Open Systems Media webcasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Thanks for attending. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Kurt,
thank you,
and Joy, and Open Systems Media for organizing this, and thank you, audience. Thank you, Todd and Shu.
Thank you, everyone.